let's just go ahead and let's pray, and then let's go into the Word and see what it is God is saying. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for your mercy, your grace, your loving kindness. We thank you, God, for your Word. It is true today the same way it was true back then. We thank you, God, that you have a covering over us. Those that seek after you, seek after your Word, and operate according to your commands, God, there is a protection around us, and we thank you, God. Right now, Lord, I just ask that you anoint my lips that I speak, that I don't speak what Katrina thinks, but I speak what you have to say. And if I'm out of line, God, I ask that you correct me immediately. Father, have your way tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, it is always different to have Bible study in an empty room. So, we're used to having people here to engage back and forth. And so, it's really, really different to be here by yourself and do it. So, please bear with me. We'll get through this together. So tonight, I just want to say, we're just going to be relaxed. This is not a staunch class, and we're going to laugh. We may cry. We may giggle. I might even get up and shout a few times. You never know what God's going to do. So tonight, you know, my husband, when he was working in the prison system, the kids used to come to him and say, "Is that real talk, Mr. Keith? Real talk?" Meaning, are you being real? Let's just be real. Let's take off titles. Let's take off this haughtiness. And let's just be real. So we're going to dive into here. A couple weeks ago, Pastor Butch had asked me to step in as well. And I really count that as an honor to be able to be trusted by someone to be able to stand in their pulpit. So that means a lot to me that he trusts me enough to do that. And a couple weeks ago, we were studying and we were in Galatians 5:19. And it was talking about things that will not inherit the kingdom. Actions, things that we live, the type of sin and stuff that we live in that will not inherit the kingdom of God. Meaning, when we pass away, we will not go with our Heavenly Father. And so I get a phone call and they said, "Oh, Katrina, you were stepping on some toes." And we giggled about it and laughed. And I said, "You're probably right. I did step on some toes, but I'll have to say for the past 4 years, I stepped on a lot of toes." And when I step on your toes, it's not in a malicious manner, but it's in love. And it is in a way that we want you to grow. We want you to be stretched, and we want you to understand what the Word says, how we're supposed to live as Christians. And so, when we look at today's society, what is a Christian supposed to look like? Is it the same Christian as way back then? Our society is different. Things are different. So, what is a Christian? My spiritual mother, which is Elder Jackie Lysa from New Jerusalem Christian Center, she said one time, "Katrina, don't ever be an enemy to the cross." Man, what did that mean? Don't be an enemy to the cross. Don't walk around here with your Bible in your hand, being all haughty and judging everybody else, looking all cute on Sunday, but then on Monday through Saturday, you look like the rest of the world. People are looking at us, and they're expecting something out of us. And so we don't want to be an enemy to the cross. Are we perfect? No. No way, shape, or form. A just man will fall 7 times. We're going to fall too. And when we get saved, everything doesn't change immediately. Sanctification is over time. And it's a process that we have to go through in order to grow as Christians. And so that's what we're doing here. We're trying to grow as Christians. We want to be sure that what we're saying is accurate. And so Pastor Butch, he dives into this Word. We don't just study the King James Bible when we're here. We go into the Hebraic, because that's the original text. So sometimes in the King James, it may say, "Oh, to fear the Lord." And to us in our Western culture, we're like, oh, we were taught to be afraid of Jesus and to be afraid of God because he's going to get you. That's not the God that we serve. No way, shape, or form is that the God that we serve. To fear the Lord is to be in reverence of him, to be in awe of him. And we are in awe of him, just waiting to see what he's doing. Because when we follow after him, we have peace in our heart. We have joy. We have kindness. It's just a place of rest, like shalom, peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. So let's just jump in here. We have 47 minutes to dive in here. I may stop and dwell a little bit in a certain area, and then we'll keep on moving, okay? But we're going to let God have his way no matter what. Amen? So, in our modern society, what does it look like to be a Christian? We have so many different teachings out there anymore, and so many different beliefs, so many different religions. What does it look like to be a Christian in the 2020 society? So, remember back in the day, Christianity was the norm. Our society was based on Judeo-Christian beliefs. So the Constitution was written based on Judeo-Christian beliefs. It was easier to be a Christian back when I was young. Stores were closed on Sunday. We still had prayer in school. We still reverenced God. We still had respect for the church. We had all of that. Now these millennials, they're not taught that way. So our laws have changed. Everything has changed. How much harder is it to be a Christian in today's society as opposed, let's say, 40 years ago? It's completely different. And if we do not know the word, we will be led astray so easy. Because, look, I can make anything sound good. Anybody can make anything sound good because our flesh wants to do what our flesh wants to do. So let's jump in here for a second. So as a Christian, there's many, many facets to our life. And so the first thing God wants to do is set us apart. I can remember being in high school and being in school and always wanting to be popular. Isn't that what we want to do when we're in high school? So we're always wanting to be a part of the in crowd. We're always wanting people to like us. And man, I could just never achieve that, not knowing what God really had in store for me. So I spent a number of years trying to fit in somewhere that God had no intention of me fitting in because he had me set apart for a special work. So Deuteronomy 14 and 2. If you have your Bible, go to Deuteronomy, Old Testament. If you're taking notes, you can study this later. Study it and make sure that what I'm telling you is the truth. So many times we could get up here and say a bunch of stuff, but never back it up with the scriptures. So if I step on your toes tonight, please know I am stepping on your toes in love. I want you to have the best of everything. I want you to experience the peace that I've been able to experience. I want you to experience the joy that I'm able to experience. So it's not out of hatred. Please know that it's in love, and I want only the best for you. So Deuteronomy 14 and 2 says, you've been set apart as holy to the Lord your God. 1 Peter 2 and 9 says, for you are a chosen people. You are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. We know he's talking about Israel, the nation of Israel. But when we accepted Jesus Christ and what he did on Calvary, we were grafted into the body. And so, we now become a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his very own possession, and he loves us unconditionally. Romans 12 and 2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern when we discern something, it's made so that you can recognize what is the good, what is the pleasing and perfect will of our Father. So, He wants us to be set apart. For so many years, we sit up here and we think we're better than everybody else. And we sit up here and we judge people from a distance. And we take on that haughty attitude because we're Christians. That's wrong too. So that is not the intent of being set apart here. We are to love people. The Bible says, love your enemy as yourself. And so God is love. And so if God is love and we love our enemy, love covers a multitude of sin. What about that one? So there's so many scriptures, and you can turn a scripture any way that you want to turn it. But that's why you need to know for yourself. We need to get in the Word ourselves and understand it, and not waiting for someone else to tell us. Amen? So we are set apart for a special work. We as Christians. So what does that look like in our modern society, being set apart for a special work? So when we look at ourselves and the day-to-day lives that we do. So we have God in our life. We have our family, meaning our children, our spouses, our parents. We have church responsibilities as Christians. What about ourselves and how we deal with ourselves and the needs that we have for ourselves? What about our careers and being out in the marketplace, and how do we deal with money? What about how do we deal with others? How are we supposed to be for others? In our community, what's our responsibility as Christians? We're going to dive into that, and we're going to spend just a little bit of time going over each and every one of those. So what do we have? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, about 6 different topics of what a Christian should look like. So let's go ahead and get started. The very first one, we all know that the Bible says, I'm the Lord your God, you put no other gods before me. The Bible says, be ye holy, for I am holy. So being holy means being dedicated to God, being dedicated to His ways, being dedicated to ensuring that you are living the way God wants you to live. So you say, yeah, Katrina, I'm Christian. I believe in Jesus. I don't worship Allah. I don't worship Buddha. I'm not part of any other religion, so I'm not placing any other God before my God. Do you spend more time at your career than you do spending time with Jesus? That was a toe that I stepped on, by the way. But I still love you. And I did that. I spent 4 years with the city, and I poured myself into it. And if it hadn't been for the fact that I knew these scriptures, I could have easily been led astray, because it's consuming to hold such a position like that. And if it had not been for me knowing the Word, I could have easily left Christianity and neglected my responsibilities as a Christian. So when we place Christ first in our lives, please understand He'll teach you all things. I didn't have the ability, the means to be able to go to college when I was young. I went, got my associate degree, but because of my, I had a son and I was recently divorced, I had to immediately go to work. So I didn't have the ability to go get my bachelor's and my master's and my doctorate. I had to hit the ground running. But God taught me the things that I needed to be taught to be successful. And so God will teach you all things when you place Him first in your life. So knowing that no other God before us, what is it that we do next? What about our family? What about how do we treat our family? What are the rules? What are the expectations? There are so many different teachings. What is it that God wants me to do? You know, when I was young, I was taught as a female, you have no place in the pulpit. You have no place here. You have no place there. So woman was held a little captive. And so as I got in here and started studying and seeing, wow, all the women in the Bible and what they did, oh, wait a minute, I have a place here as well, and I can be effective to the body of Christ. So let's look at marriage in the family, okay? So Proverbs 18 and 22, if you're taking notes, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. So Tony Key found a good thing. All right, we're just going to laugh and we're going to have fun. So he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. This doesn't say she who finds a husband finds a good thing. It says he that finds a wife finds a good thing. Ladies, let me encourage you. If you're looking for a godly man, stop looking. Be about your father's business. Know what this word is. I had a lot of baggage on me, and I had expectations of my husband that he could never achieve because of my hurts, because of some of the things that I went through in my past. He was never going to be able to achieve success in my eyes because I had been hurt. I can remember fussing about, oh, he must have done something wrong, and I'm fussing and I'm carrying on. And I remember the Lord speaking to me quickly. He said, little girl, I'm dealing with you. Don't you worry about him. You are the one I'm focused on. You're the one that said, oh, use me, Lord. Well, if I'm going to use you, I have got to do a work in you. So you trust me enough that let me put the focus on you and you don't worry about anybody else. So what a roller coaster ride Katrina went on. Was it fun? No way, shape, or form. Was it worth it? Yes! Yes, it's worth it! The peace that you can have when you follow after His laws is amazing. It's indescribable. In the midst of all of this, guys, I don't have a job right now. I don't have income coming in, but I have peace that surpasses all understanding. God has met every one of my needs. He has paid every one of my bills. I'm not in debt. God continues to take care of me. And my next platform, He's going to open up that door and I'm going to walk right through it. That's how much I trust Him. He's already proven Himself to me. That's all it took. He proved Himself to me once, He'll prove it to me again. So, ladies, stop running out here trying to find a man. You work on you and let God bring that man to you. Genesis 2 and 24. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Side note. I'm getting ready to step on some toes again, so be careful. How many family members get in the business of their children? He leaves the mother and father, cleaves to his wife, becomes one flesh. One flesh. Let your children work out their own issues. You can be there for support. You can be there to pick them up after they fall. But you have to let them figure it out. We have raised children that are dependent and not independent because we want to do everything for them. Let's stop it. Let's let them fall down so that that God can come in and raise them back up. And He may raise them up through you. But we continue to love. Stay out of people's business. Stepping on toes. But remember, I love you. I still love you. All right, Ephesians 5:25, and we're going to do 5:33. Ephesians 5:25 and 5:33. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. Woo! Husbands, if you want your wife to be so in love with you that you have peace in knowing that she is out there to defend you, that she is out there making preparation for you, love her in a way that you've never loved her before. This is not a competition. Stop trying to turn her into somebody she's not. Women, stop trying to turn your man into somebody he's not. Let him be him. Let God deal with him. And you let God deal with you. That's hard to take. That's hard to swallow. But look at Ephesians 5 and 33. Let each one of you love his wife as himself. Now, I always laugh and we tell jokes that, you know, men are in love with themselves. They're a little selfish. Ha ha ha. I always said if you took the Myers-Briggs personality test, men would automatically be introverts. And introverts are people that see the world according to how it affects them. So we women see that as being selfish and all you care about is yourself. That's not the case. That's not the case at all. Some people are made that way and their personality helps them to do that, to do a job even. Some people need to have that skill set to be able to do certain things. So it's really not a bad thing, but you have to keep it in line whenever we're dealing with the Word of God, because it can take you and you can become a narcissist if you don't have that thing under control, okay? It's another foot I stepped on, a little toe. And it goes on to say, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. How come he didn't say, wife, I want you to love your husband? Is it because we were already created to love? We nurture babies. We give birth to children. And we know how to love. We're made with that skill set. So why is he going to command us to do something that he already made us to do? And if you would ask a man, do you want me to love you or respect you? The Bible here says, see that she respects her husband. A man thinks, if you respect me, you'll love me. A woman says, if you love me, you'll respect me. We got to understand how each other operates. So many times we want men to be like women, and we want women to be like men. Get in there and understand how a man operates. My husband laughs all the time and will tell a story because we women are storytellers. And so we got to tell the details of a story. And Bishop T.D. Jakes, he said one time that his wife come in telling him a story and he just looked at her and said, just say chicken. Get to the point. I don't need all the details. Get to the point. And so we women like to tell the whole thing and paint this beautiful picture. And the men are like, really? Just get to the point. So we have to understand each other. Men, be a little patient with us. We're storytellers. So you can be patient with us the same way that we're patient with you. Am I stepping on toes? Is it all right? Do you still love me? It'll be okay. So, understand each other's roles, okay? Appreciate who they are. Men, love your wives. Women, respect your husbands. There's nobody in my world that I think is any better than Tony Keith. Tony Keith is the cherry on my little sundae. So, he has his issues. Katrina definitely has her issues. But when we come together, wow, there's nothing that he and I can't do. All right, so part of our family makeup are children. What about our children? So, Proverbs 22 and 6. Start children off in the way children should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. Starting children off knowing what the Word of God says. Pouring it into them. Let that be part of your daily routine. Allowing time to be able to dive in there and to show your children what thus saith the Lord. Stop depending on the church to do it, the Sunday school teachers. That is their role. But we have a role too at home to be able to bring up our children and knowing right from wrong, knowing what the scriptures say. Don't just say, because I said so. Man, that doesn't work. we need to understand as children why we're doing what we're doing, okay? So communication is a big key in any successful relationship. Proverbs 22 and 15. It says, folly is bound up in the hearts of a child. Folly meaning foolishness, okay? So we know foolishness is in the heart of a child. They're young. They're not mature enough. They don't understand consequences, so they'll make a mistake maybe based on television. You know, television is false, and it's terrible. I'll just leave that there and not meddle in that. But foolishness in the hearts of a child. They're not mature enough to understand the consequences. But it goes on to say, but the rod of discipline will drive it far away. We have to discipline our children. If we don't, they will follow down that road of destruction. Nobody wants to see their child go through the hurt and heartaches. I've been there. I was hurt. I was just hurt growing up. Immature, insecure, low self-esteem. I did not want my daughter to take that path. And I had refused, and I had purposed in my mind that I was not going to teach her the things that I was taught. I was going to reverse the curse, and my daughter was not going to be dependent. She was going to be independent, but she was also going to know her role as a female, as a wife, as a mother. And we taught her. Is she going to be perfect? No. We said earlier, just man's going to fall 7 times. I'm going to fall. But guess what? We have the ability to get right back up because our God loves us unconditionally. So, you know, when we were raised, boy, when they said, but the rod of discipline will drive it far away. Boom, boom. We had a switch tree out back. I'm not going to lie. Had a switch tree. You might have got the belt. But I'm telling you, when you live in a household that you've waited on God to bring your husband, when you live in a household of peace, when you're able to communicate one with another, when you're studying the scriptures, when your house has peace, you're diminishing the likelihood of your children even getting out of control. We didn't have to whip Delaney. Not one time did she ever get a whooping. It wasn't needed. We had order in the house. And so we weren't perfect. Now remember, we both had other marriages. We weren't perfect. We came in with a lot of baggage. But we finally got it right, and we're still learning, we're still growing, and we're still building our household. All right, Deuteronomy 6 and 7, just what we were saying earlier, impress them on your children. Impress the scriptures on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Honestly, all the time, constantly, be making sure that your kids know the scripture and they understand what they mean. Ephesians 6 and 4, I always found this intriguing, and we always tease Delaney's dad about this. It says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. So anytime she gets in trouble, I say, Delaney, go tell him about Ephesians 6:4. And so it's become a little joke in our house. But let's get all serious about it. Fathers, don't provoke your children to anger. We can discipline our children in a way that we don't have to provoke them to anger. We don't have to lord over them and say, this is my house and you're going to do what I say. I agree with that, your house. And I agree that you have the say-so, but it's our actions. If I were to give you your dinner and I hand it to you politely, it's more enticing. If I take your dinner and I throw it at you, how much is that dinner going to mean to you? It's not always what we say. It's how we say it. And we got to be careful in how we talk to our children. They're watching. They're sponges. They're eating it up, and they're going to mimic what we do. Sometimes in the house, we watch this 60 days in. Anybody that knows my family knows my husband's incorrection. So we watch this show, and we're watching children go in. It's a different show, but we watch these children go in, and they scared straight. And so many times parents are wanting somebody else to discipline their children, make them see the error of their ways. In all reality, it may just come back to you and I, being the parent. We got to look at what we're doing and how we're acting in our homes. Maybe they're just acting out what they see us do. So, we always have to take a self-evaluation. Before I point at you and judge you, I have to look at Katrina and say, Katrina, what are you doing, okay? All right, children, you're not off the hook. The Bible says that we should honor our mother and father so that our days may be long on the land. The only commandment in the Bible with a promise. You want to live a long life? Honor your parents. It doesn't say honor your parents, oh, if they were good to you. Oh, if they gave you what you needed. Oh, if you had a wonderful daddy that loved you and a mommy that just supported you. No, it's just a principle. Honor your parents. Flat out, honor your parents so that your days may be long. He will bless you if you do this commandment. Okay, what about the church? What is our responsibility at the church? So many of us want to just walk right in here, sit down, hear what the pastor has to say, and walk right back out the door. Is that really our responsibility? Come on now. We all have a place in the church, in the body of Christ, and we need to be able to support the church, all right? So Acts 2 and 42. Am I stepping on toes? Again, I'm going to say it throughout the whole message. I'm sorry. Not sorry, as Reese's commercial would say. We're only wanting to stretch ourselves and make ourselves better, okay? Acts 2 and 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. So we've come together. We come and worship together. We break bread together. Well, I don't like to go to church. I'm tired. I've worked all week. I don't want to go to church. I can watch it right here. You're doing live Facebook, so let me just watch it right here. God wants us to fellowship together. Hebrews 10 and 24 and 25. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. God wants us to come together. He says, when two or more are together, there I am in the midst. And if you want to see change happen, get into a place with your fellow brothers and sisters seeking after God. Watch His anointing fall in the place. You want to see healing take place? Get in His presence. You want to see the blind recover their sight? Get in His presence. He said we're to do greater works than Jesus. So what's that saying? We have that ability. So there's a place that we have to live in order to be able to exercise those kind of things. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. When we come together on Sunday and worship the Lord, it's hard telling what takes place here. When the anointing sets in, listen, we're watching people get healed. We're watching people get delivered. We're watching marriages being mended. God can do the exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. But we're going to come to the house. We're going to come here and support one another. Listen, right before I got here, I just had this negative thought in my head. I was in a meeting the other day, and they weren't really truthful with me. And it really got to me because I worked so hard to be truthful, to be transparent, to be honest, because my reputation means a lot. And when I found out that people were a part of the meeting that they didn't let me know was part of the meeting, woo! I got a little mad. And so if I don't correct that quick and put it in place, I can allow that thing to stew, and I can get madder and madder and madder. And the Bible says, be angry, but sin not. So we're allowed to get angry. We've got to be able to put it in check, though, okay? Proverbs 3, honor the Lord with your wealth. Oh, no, this is one I'm going to step on your toes. When I'm dealing with your money, oh, my goodness, don't hate me. This is just what the Bible says. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops, then your barns will be overflowing and your vats will brim with new wine. But I can't afford to tithe. I don't have enough money. You can't afford not to tithe. Listen to his word. If you do it, all of your crops, then your barns will be overflowing. When you give of your tithes and offerings, God will bless you. Do not rob from him. Everything belongs to him. And all he's asking you for is one-tenth. So if you've got $100, you can give him 10. And he will bless you. Now you want to be blessed beyond measure. Now we step into offerings. We're going to give even more. And I'll tell you a quick story and we'll move to the next one. Young in my adult Christian walk. And I made a vow and a commitment to give $1,000 offering. I had all year to give this $1,000 offering. So every paycheck, I just took out a little bit of money and hid it. So now it's November. It's time for Christmas, but it's time to give that $1,000. And I thought, you know what? I better tell my husband before I do this. Or no, I think I told him afterwards because I didn't want him to tell me. No, you can't do it. I waited till afterwards, okay? So I give my $1,000. I was proud of myself. And then I thought, let me go tell him. So I told him, you did what? You know Christmas is coming. Yeah, you're right. It is. But you know what? I just believed it for some reason. It wasn't but a few months later. My employer at the time came to me and said, Katrina, we forgot to pay you the extra 2 weeks. You know, there's 52 weeks in a year. They were paying me every 2 weeks. And there's 2 months in the year that there's an extra week. So they owed me 2 weeks' salary. Can anybody guess how much that was? That was 10 cents shy of being $1,000. I took that check home real quick. And he said, I'll never question you again. Why? Because God proved himself to us. I trusted him. And through my faith, my husband saw God working on our behalf. I have stories like that that I could share over and over again, how God continues to bless us. If you trust him with your money, I'm telling you, he'll turn that thing around. Remember, I was on welfare at one time. I was living in what they call government housing. I had $80 to live off of after I paid my bills and my tithes. $80 for an entire month. God took that, flipped it around. Who is on welfare and then becomes the mayor of a city? That's God. That is God. I promise you. You might not want to be the mayor, but God wants to take you somewhere. He wants to take you and reshape you and mold you into something that he has purposed for you. And we'll get more, tell you the truth, we'll get into that right now. All right, so we were talking about our responsibility for the church. Now, what about our responsibility to ourselves? We usually put ourselves above everything else. It's I want this and I want that and I. It's never what can I do for others. I ain't gonna say always, but let's just be honest. We get selfish a little bit, but people at Church of the King, they know about purpose. We talk about purpose all the time. Psalms 57 and 2 says, I cry out to God, the Most High, to God who fulfills His purpose for me. The God that fulfills His purpose for me. So what is His purpose for you? So many times we want to go out here and get a job that we want. It might not be the job that God wants you to have. Jeremiah. Remember Jeremiah's that little boy. He's a little minor prophet. And God tells him to go tell the people something. And he said, whoa, stop the press. I'm just a little kid. What do you mean? People aren't going to listen to me. Do we listen to children? No. So he don't think these people are going to listen to him. But God said, guess what? Before you were even formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. I ordained you a prophet. And when we look at Romans 2 and 11, it says, for there's no respecter of person with God. If he did it for Jeremiah, guess what he's going to do for you? You've got purpose to fulfill in the earth. You were designed for something unique. There is something that Miss Wilma back there can do that I cannot do. She is a wonderful prayer warrior. She can pray for people in a way I can't do. And so I admire her for that. She is phenomenal. But there's something that Katrina does that Wilma can't do. And I'm wonderful. I'm phenomenal. And so are every one of you in Facebook land, those of you in live stream. God has something for you that's just for you, and you are needed. He doesn't want you to be another Katrina. He needs you to be you. There is somebody that you can influence that I can't influence. But there's people that I can influence that someone else can't. So He's made you by design. So let's do a little illustration. Let's look at a microwave. The microwave was designed to heat up food and heat it up rapidly, correct? It's got a heating element in it. So what's wrong with the picture if I take milk and heavy cream and eggs and sugar and maybe some cocoa, mix it all up and put it in the microwave, hit the button for, say, 5 minutes, and when I pull it out, I'm mad because it didn't freeze. I wanted ice cream to come out of the microwave. That's not what it was intended for. Stop trying to get something out of something that it's not intended for. Stop trying to be something that you were not intended for. If you are anointed to sing, sing. If you're anointed with figures, go get a job that let God lead you to get this job that you can deal with the figures. Get involved in your church and help them do the books. You have a place in society. You have a place in the body of Christ. You have a purpose that God has intended just for you. We are a triunion being. Mind, body, spirit. Okay? Mind, body, spirit. Those have to be working simultaneously. We've got to, knowledge is power. My people perish for a lack of knowledge. So we have to always be learning. We have to exercise our body. This COVID-19 thing, I've been terrible. And I admit it, let me repent now, because my behind needs to go to the track. We have to keep our mind, our body, and our soul. We have to know what this word means. So when God gets in there, He's dealing with us, we're dealing with every aspect of our very being. Amen? So, what is your purpose? What is God calling you to? What has God purposed for you to do in the earth? What are some of the gifts and talents that you just have automatically? When you know something that you do automatically, I was born to do this, that'll give you some insight in the direction that God is leading you. And when you get before Him, I promise you, He will show you what to do. Did I ever think that I'd run for mayor? No way. I wanted nothing to do with politics. I didn't care for it. I thought they all were crooks and criminals. Wanted no part of it. Little did I know that God was leading me down that path. And when He said, I want you to go run for mayor, did I jump on that train real quick? No. Nobody wants to be ridiculed like I was ridiculed on social media. Nobody wants to go through what I went through publicly on social media. You can't please everybody. So if you think you're going in there and you're going to make a big difference and everybody's going to sit and sing Kumbaya, that's a false. That's not going to happen. That wasn't my personality. My personality, I wanted everybody to love me. That's not going to happen. I didn't want that job. But when God said, that's what you're going to do, and He gave me the scriptures to go and rebuild the walls, I didn't have the luxury of putting the pretty curtains up and the bling bling and making the city look so beautiful. I had to rebuild the walls. And that is piling in the studs, digging the trenches, all the hard work that nobody wants to do because you're going to offend somebody. But He called me to do it. And I said, bid it unto me, not my will, but your will. And whatever He calls you to, I promise you, He'll sustain you. He'll walk with you. He'll make a path just for you if you'll operate according to His word. According to His word. All right, let's get into the marketplace. What about our careers? We have to have money to sustain our families. We have to have money to live. God wants us to be prosperous. He doesn't want us to be poor and broke, but we do have a responsibility when it comes to our money. Proverbs 6:6 says, listen to this. I may upset you, but I found this so interesting. Proverbs 6:6, he's talking about the ant, and what does the little ant do? He says, go to the ant, thou sluggard, you little lazy thing. Does God want us to be lazy? No, we've got so much work to do. We have so many that says, I just need to rest. I need to rest. Our Father rested on one day. And the rest of the day, He was busy. Thou sluggard, consider her ways. Talking about the ant. Well, what is the ant's ways? Be wise. She's wise, that ant is. Which having no chief, she has no one telling her what to do, Wilma. Uh-oh. She has no overseer. She has no ruler. But what does she do? She provideth her bread in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest time. She brings it in. She prepares for that dead season and she has ample supply. Listen to me. I'm telling you. Call me the crazy woman. I don't care, I've been called crazy before, and I'm okay with that. But we are coming up on a time that there's going to be famines in the land. Matthew tells us that. He tells us when the end is going to come. Not specific dates, but He gives us signs to look for. And you can rest assured there's going to be famine in the land. We just witnessed it through this COVID. You couldn't find toilet paper. I still can't find sanitary wipes. People are stocking it up. We don't have the spirit of fear, but we do use wisdom. And I encourage you, stop wasting your money on stuff out here to make you happy. God can make you happy. Be wise with your money. Use it effectively that you can think long term. Susie Orman, great financial advisor. She says, make sure you have at least an 8-month savings. So if something happens to your job, you've got 8 months of funds to live off of until you find your next job. Well, my goodness, I live in Ironton. I can't do that. I barely get by. I understand. I get it. But do what you can, and God will come in with the rest. A penny in your hand is a penny. But a penny in God's hand, He can multiply it. He can feed the multitude with two fish and five loaves. He can take care of you and I, and we're going to trust Him to do that. Have I offended you yet? I'm not wanting to offend you maliciously, but I do want you to be stretched and know that God loves you, and there are ways that He wants us to act and behave. So, 2 Thessalonians 3, and we're almost done. I'm going to run through here a little quicker. 2 Thessalonians 3:6-10. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers and sisters, to keep away from every believer who is idle and disruptive and does not live according to the teaching you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling so that we could not be a burden to anyone. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you to imitate. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule: the one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. Whoa! What are you talking about? You're supposed to be a Christian, and you're supposed to be out here helping me and giving me. Man, you're talking about stepping on some toes. I'm going to step on some toes right now. I just told you that I had been on government assistance. Do I believe the government assistance is biblical? No! Is there means to give to the poor? Yes. But now we depend on the government to help people, and we've usurped our own authority, we've usurped the church's authority, and we have placed it onto the government. And now the government is going to control what you and I do. They're going to control what we think, and they are going to take control of our nation. That's wrong. You know it's wrong, and I'm going to say it 100 more times. Everybody here has heard me say it. The welfare system is wrong. Grants. I remember going to Columbus, and Representative Clyde Evans was there, and a woman runs up to him and says, "Oh, Mr. Evans, we need more grants." He said, "Baby, do you understand that if I bring more grants your way, I got to increase your taxes?" Voila! What? Where do we think that money comes from? We're robbing from somebody else and giving to someone else. The Bible says that we are to work. The grapevines, the grapes had fallen to the ground. They didn't go in there and get those and go sell those. That's greed. He said, no, you leave those for the poor. The poor is to get up and go work and gather that themselves. Now we just sit here and we collect something in the mail. Katrina, you're mean. I'm sorry. It's not biblical. We have a responsibility as the church. We have a responsibility as family to take care of our family. And the government system, it is breaking our United States. The welfare system is bankrupting us. And it is not of God, because God wants, He's given us dominion and power. And I'm off my notes right now, but I'm going to say what I believe He is saying. He's given us dominion and power. And when we are not operating in dominion and power, we become lethargic, we become dependent, and we become like algae, and we begin to just grow in a stagnant water. We just sit there and we have no growth. How do you think the enemy wants to destroy you? He wants to destroy you in that very way. To give you just enough money so you'll go hide in a corner and, though powers that be, continue to get richer and richer. Be careful, people. Wake up. It is a time that we wake up and we see what's going on out here in the world. All right. Malachi 3:10, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. We know we have an responsibility to bring our tithes to the storehouse. What does he say? I will not Watch and see that I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven, pour out a blessing that you will not have room enough to store it. When you give to the church, when you give your tithes and offerings, I promise you, He will bless you. Okay, we are at 8 o'clock, so I'm going to go a little faster through here, but I want to cover it all. Pastor Butch had said in the past, you don't have anywhere to go. You're stuck inside, so you might as well just sit here and listen. All right, Hebrews 13 and 5 says, keep your lives free from the love of money. Woo! We like money. We like things, guys. I do too. But 1 Timothy 6 and 10 says, the love of money is the root of all evil. We have to have money to sustain ourselves. We have to live. Money is not wrong. He wants us to be prosperous so that we can advance the kingdom, so we can help other people. When you make money just for you so you can buy all your little toys and look cute and for self, 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 and building up yourself, that's where it's wrong. We're here to help others. We help others, God helps us. So, the root of all evil is the love of money. And how does that fit into our society now? It's so easy in a capitalistic nation that we live in, and I support, by the way, being capitalistic. But if you're not lined up with the Word, you're easily led astray into greed. So you got to be careful there. You've got to be careful. Greed has no place in Christ Jesus. Okay? So our money that we get, we are to help other people. Other people still has a responsibility. The poor still has a responsibility to get up and go do something, not just to sit here and wait for somebody else to take care of them. Okay? I know it's not popular, it doesn't sound good, but I'm only reading the scriptures. All right, we're to be good stewards of our money. What does that mean? What is a good steward? What is a steward? Someone that manages someone else's wealth, someone else's belongings. So, Psalms 24 and 1 says, we know that the earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and those who dwell. So all of this belongs to God. And we're to be stewards of it. So all of our possessions we're to operate and utilize everything that we have as though they are God Himself. Not ours, but they're here. That they are His. So our houses, we are to maintain our homes and invest in our homes. That's where we live and that's where we dwell. You don't let your house go all raggedy and let it fall down. You don't let your car, you don't run it to the ground. You try to keep up with it, maintain it, and treat it as though it is God Himself. So everything that we have, everything that we possess is God's, and we are to take care of it. We're supposed to take care of ourselves. The Holy Spirit dwells inside of us. We're supposed to take care of this body. Amen? All right, to wrap it up. How are we Christians supposed to deal with other people? How are we supposed to deal with our community? What's our role? What's our responsibility? Another alert. I'm going to step on some toes. So be with me. Just give me a second. Let me show you why. Okay? So, Romans 13, 7 and 8. Romans 13, 7 and 8. Pay to all what is owed to them. Taxes. Taxes to whom taxes are owed. How many times are we trying to get out of paying taxes? The Bible says, pay them. Whoop. Revenue to whom revenue is owed. Respect. Honor to whom respect and honor is owed. So many people don't like our president. But God says that we're supposed to honor those that are in authority over us. I don't understand Christians that bash any president. There have been presidents in office that I didn't vote for, but I didn't go to Facebook and bash them. They're leading our country. They're making decisions on our behalf that's going to affect us for long terms. And here we are sitting up here bashing them. We've got a media out here that's crushing Donald Trump instead of saying, hey, President, how can we help you? Stop bashing the people in authority. I was treated bad in our campaign, but do I retaliate and go to our mayor now and cuss him out on Facebook? And no, he's making decisions based, I still live here. I'm still a citizen here and I pay taxes here. I want Ironton to prosper. And when we get that in our spirit, just us Christians, forget people that are the Catholic, they study different than us. Forget about people that are agnostic or just don't believe, atheist. I'm just talking about Christians that come in here and say they believe in the Bible that we teach. Just if we would stand up and operate the way we're supposed to operate, my goodness, what could Ironton look like? What could we look like? So, I'm going to talk to Ironton just because that's where we're from. So those of you that are watching from other places, you can glean from this and do it in your community. But right here in Ironton, listen, pay your bills. Man, Katrina, you're being harsh. No, I'm not, baby. I'm not being harsh. We owe it. Pay your bills. We have a responsibility to pay what we have used. Do you know that the city of Ironton loses approximately $55,000 a year in lost revenue because of the utility bill? People leave and they come and go, and they leave bills, and they have no means to collect that. Oh, we'll go out here and get a collection agency. We've tried that. It doesn't work. They're not going to go after small bills. Let's say you owed $50 and you walked off. Well, what if 500 people had $50 and walked off? That's a lot of money. So over 20 years, we've lost over $1 million in revenue because people walked out on their bills. Pay your bills. It's going to affect you long term, one way or another. You're going to pay it one way or another. So I encourage you, pay what you owe. That is what a Christian does. Romans 3 and 2 says, whoever resists the authorities, resist God, what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. Listen, this thing is not about Christianity being in control because we want to rule everything. This is about a heaven to gain or a hell to shun. We live our lives according to the afterlife, not about right now. So the things that we say, the things that we do, and the way that we live is about the ever after, not about what's happening right now. And I'm not going to allow someone that I don't care for to stop me from entering in to his gates. It's not worth it. So I encourage you, respect those in authority. They may not be living a Christian life. They may not be doing things that are in the up and up. That's not your responsibility. Your responsibility is to do what thus saith the Lord, and you show respect for these positions. God's appointed them, and God will honor those that respect it. What if you're a property owner in Ironton? Take care of your property. The city of Ironton used to have to pay thousands of dollars to go out here and hold people accountable for your property. Boy, you can eliminate money off of the budget and keep taxes down if you take care of your responsibilities. This is easy stuff, guys. Put in a little time into what we have. Don't be a slumlord. If you're a Christian and you're a slumlord, that's not godly. Provide a presentable place for people to live. Hold people accountable. Don't allow the city government to have to take care of your responsibilities. It's not right, guys. Come on. I know I'm stepping on toes, and I'm sorry. But it is what it is. We have a responsibility to live a certain way. Okay? Deuteronomy 15:11, there will always be poor people among us. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed, toward your fellow Israelites who are poor and needy among you. Guys, let's just be honest. There are some people out there, they just want to let you do for them. And God is saying that ain't right either. But He does require us to help those that truly in need. We have widows out here. They can't go out and get up on their roof and fix a leaky roof. We, the church, should be stepping in and helping those in the church to do the things that they can't do. That's our responsibility. You don't work, you don't eat. That's tough. But that's how important working is. Because when you become idle, you become lethargic. And then all of a sudden you become a liability rather than an asset. And that's what the devil wants of you. He wants you to be non-existent. He don't want you to fulfill the purpose that God has inside of you. And He's doing everything He can to stop you from doing what thus the Lord has called you to do. Remember, this isn't a war against flesh and blood and us against other religions. This is a spiritual war. This is God and Satan going at it and Him doing everything He can to stop God's will and God's purpose for our lives. And He wants to do everything He can to stop you from coming into yourself. Because once you come into yourself, He loses His grip off of you. You get to operate in peace. Okay, 1 Timothy 5, 3 through 8. 1 Timothy 5, 3 through 8. And we're almost done. It says, honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn to show piety at home to requite their parents. For that is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate, trusteth in God and continue in supplication and prayers day and night. Both parties still have a responsibility. It's our responsibility as families. Guys, I'm not putting down nursing homes. No way, shape, or form. That may be the only means that somebody has. But if you can do it, if you can take care of your parents without having to put them in a nursing home, that's what God is expecting of us. I can remember my husband got sent to Columbus for 3 years. I stayed with my mom. She was diagnosed with cancer. I worked a full-time job. I was in the Appalachian Leadership Academy. I was taking my daughter to her basketball, volleyball games by myself. And I was taking care of my mom as she was dying. I refused to put her in a nursing home so I could go out and do my stuff. And I'm telling you, God will bless you if you take care of your parents. God was able to restore some things between me and my mom that needed to be restored. I have no regrets. I have nothing but peace about my mother. And God restored that through that time. So the hardships that you think you're going through, God is trying to do something for you and trying to get you to go somewhere. So don't begrudge that. Please do everything that you can to take care of the widow. Take care of your family. That's what we do as Christians. What about breaking the law? Do you know how much money the city of Ironton spends in the police department? $1.4 million. $1.4 million. What do you think that budget would look like if they didn't have to worry about rapists? What if they didn't have to worry about domestic violence? What if they didn't have to worry about people stealing your stuff? What do you think that budget would look like if we lived a lifestyle that took that burden off of the city? And what could the city do with the finances that are coming in instead of having to, wait a minute, just the police department, now let's add municipal court and their budget. Because once they go get arrested, oh, wait a minute, what about the jail? So there's money for the jail. We don't realize what it really costs to operate and keep our city safe. Man, what if we just operated with integrity and we didn't partake in those things? What would happen? What if that happened right here in the city of Ironton. We become a catalyst for places, you know, what's going on in Ironton? How are they doing this? That's a poor city. There's nobody down there. We've heard it. What would happen if just we, the saints, the Christians, would change our attitude? Oh, am I stepping on toes? I don't mean to, but yes, I do. All right, so we need to obey God's laws and take the burden off of our government system. Saints, listen, we can do this. If we step up and apply God's laws to our lives, trusting Him to get us from point A to point B, we will change our environment. We can change Ironton. We can change Lawrence County. Those of you that are watching via some other place, you can change West Virginia. You can change Killeen, Texas. You can change Mountain City, Tennessee. I'm telling you, when we put our trust back in God, we're going through this COVID thing and everybody's nervous and anxious. He said, be anxious in nothing. Be anxious in nothing. I trust my God enough that He's going to supply all of my needs according to His riches in glory. So saints, I'm just encouraging you. It is time to rise up. It is time that we go out with a boldness, preaching the gospel, loving people. We want to love them into the church. We don't want to beat them over the head with the Bible. We want to love people back into the fold, because once you come in and you understand who you are, I'm telling you, your life will be forever changed. So, I know it's 15 after. You didn't have anything to do anyway, so we're just a little over. So I want to thank you for tuning in tonight. Thank you, Facebook. I appreciate you. God has plans for us. I'm not ready to go back to an old way. That way was not working. I'm looking for God to do something new in 2020 after this COVID is over with. I'm looking for the saints to get back to the church. I'm looking for the exceeding and abundantly to happen. So I want you to stand with me in anticipation and knowing that God is going to do something. And if you allow Him to take and remold and remake you, He's going to do something for you, but it's all for His glory. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank You this evening for Your word. I pray, God, that people are able to apply it to their lives. I pray, God, that it doesn't return unto You void. Now, have Your way. Bless Your people, God. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen. Bye, guys.